An NTSB team heads for the Netherlands. New FAA leadership takes credit for airline safety. And scientists weigh the loss of NASA's orbiting carbon observatory. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, February 26, 2009. The National Transportation Safety Board is sending a team of investigators to Amsterdam to assist in the investigation of the crash of a Turkish Airlines 737-800. Flight 1951 was on approach, inbound from Istanbul, when it crashed in a muddy field short of the runway about 10:40 a.m. local time yesterday. As of our deadline, there were 9 reported fatalities, including all 3 members of the flight crew. The modern plane's current safety technology is already being praised for the low casualty count, especially considering the fuselage broke into 3 sections on impact. Conditions were reported calm and clear, and passengers told reporters they heard routine pre-landing instructions, then sudden turbulence and a crash. Further details will be released by the Dutch Safety Board. Check back for updates at aero-news.net. As the NTSB continues to prod the FAA for being too slow to adopt tougher rules for flight in icing, the new leadership of the U.S. Department of Transportation is taking credit for the statistical improvement in the safety of airline travel. DOT claims the FAA has wrought a 65% reduction in the aviation fatal accident rate between 1997 and 2006. New acting FAA Administrator Lynn Osmus says, quote, "The FAA has a fierce commitment to safety. It continues to strive toward its goal of no accidents. The FAA is always looking to improve risks to the flying public by working to improve equipment, procedures, training, and crew coordination," unquote. Among the trophies the DOT points to on its mantle is the fact that until Continental Connection Flight 3407, the last fatal commercial airline accident linked to icing occurred in 1997. In the 10 years before that, 10 airline accidents, fatal and non-fatal, were blamed on icing. The NTSB's investigation into the Flight 3407 accident continues. The failure of NASA's Orbiting Carbon Observatory to reach orbit following launch Tuesday is more than an isolated disappointment to the agency and climate researchers. The Washington Post reports it's a real setback for what is hoped will one day be a network for monitoring Earth's atmosphere. It was hoped that the $280 million mission would determine what becomes of carbon dioxide from burning fossil fuels, how much is absorbed by natural sinks in the oceans and forests, and how much lingers to aggravate the greenhouse effect in the atmosphere. Scientists complain that in 2007 we spent more money investigating other planets than we did our own. Neil Lane, science advisor to the Clinton administration, says the failure of the OCO is a real setback. Quote, "The program was weak and now it's really weak," unquote. There are more climate study missions on NASA's agenda, and the Obama administration seems game to fund them. Some scientists are pushing for a replacement for the OCO, while others say the research should wait for a second generation of the observatory that's already on the drawing board. A decision on that is expected within a few weeks. Up next on ANN, space exploration fans are cheered by a new survey. An Australian aerobatic star dies during a photo shoot. And Los Angeles wants to turn Palmdale Regional Airport into a solar power plant. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 26th. I'm Paul Plack. If you've wondered why NASA has people working on publicizing its programs, here's why. A recent survey commissioned by the Coalition for Space Exploration suggests that 88% of U.S. citizens see value in the space program, despite the bad economy. When those people are told aerospace employs a 500,000 Americans, contributed over $200 billion to the U.S. economy in 2008, had a $61 billion trade surplus in 2007, and is responsible for bringing civilians the technology which drives GPS, satellite TV and radio, airbags, and smoke detectors, approval jumps to 96%. The survey also found that 87% of respondents who know the U.S. lead in space is being challenged by other nations believe that lead is worth keeping. Dean Acosta, chairman of the coalition's public affairs team, says, quote, "We're pleased to see that the public clearly backs a well-rounded U.S. space exploration program. It's vital that Washington leaders allow for and support appropriate funding for NASA," unquote. President Obama ran hot and cold on funding for the Constellation program during the campaign. We'll see soon what's in his first budget proposal. Friends and colleagues called him Pip. Peter Borman will be remembered as one of Australia's most accomplished aerobatic pilots. The 54-year-old died Wednesday when his new Pitts Samson crashed during a photo shoot at Shepparton Aerodrome in Kiala. Julian Fraser told the Australian Associated Press Borman was performing aerobatics for a newspaper photographer to promote next month's Australian International Air Show. Quote, "His options were limited, and it appears he has had an unsurvivable accident as a result of a forced landing," unquote. Police are investigating. You know, sometimes FAA grant assurances are the only thing that saves U.S. airports. The city of Los Angeles used eminent domain laws to appropriate 4,000 acres of undeveloped land near Los Angeles-Palmdale Regional Airport and got federal funding on the premise that the land would be used to expand the airport to an intercontinental facility. Now, the LA Times reports that in anticipation of public approval of a March 3rd ballot initiative that would mandate renewable power, the city is looking instead to use that land for a solar energy project. The plan would provide 400 megawatts to the grid by 2014. That's about 25% of what Measure B would require. Los Angeles County Supervisor Michael Antonovich is not amused. Regarding the eminent domain taking, he said, quote, "The city should keep its promise to the people of the Antelope Valley or give the land back to its rightful owners," unquote. A total of 8 airlines have tried and failed to make a go of scheduled service from Palmdale. Officials have closed the airport's freight terminal and are discussing surrendering the airport's operating certificate. The FAA would have to approve use of the facility for anything but an airport after providing funding for its expansion. Still ahead, a new flight instructors organization is officially incorporated. U.S. Airways throws in the towel on charging for a drink of water. And business aviation gets another surprise ally in the fight against Washington hypocrites. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wasp GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wasp GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, February 26th. I'm Paul Plack. It's official. The Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, or SAFE for short, is now a Connecticut corporation and is seeking 501c3 status. The group's organizational meeting will be this evening at 5:15 p.m. in the Centennial 4 Ballroom of the Hyatt Regency Atlanta. That meeting was arranged to be convenient for attendees at the Women in Aviation International Conference. SAFE has evolved quickly from TBO NAFI, a group of about 400 members of the National Association of Flight Instructors, which had made an unsuccessful push for reforms in NAFI's governance model, including a move to a board of directors elected directly by members. SAFE spokesman Doug Stewart said of the latest developments, quote, "We plan to hear from various committee chairpersons and discuss the charter memberships which will be offered as soon as all the filings are complete. Securing nonprofit status is the next big step in our efforts to create an organization that will represent the nation's aviation educators and certified flight instructors with professionalism, transparency, fairness, and accountability," unquote. Steward adds work will be done on programs, assembling a board of directors, and offering memberships to aviation educators, flight instructors, and industry partners. U.S. Airways will restore free beverage service on its flights effective Sunday. The Associated Press reports the change was detailed in a memo to employees last weekend by CEO Doug Parker. The airline has been charging $2 for soda, juice, coffee, and bottled water in coach since August 1st, but none of its competitors followed U.S. Airways over that cliff. Parker's memo acknowledged, quote, "This difference in our service has become a focal point that detracts from all of the outstanding improvements in on-time performance and baggage handling that all of us have worked so hard to achieve over the past year," unquote. But Parker defended the initial decision to impose the fee. Quote, "Frankly, it would have been a bigger risk for us not to have tried charging for drinks because innovation and a new business model are desperately needed," unquote. An official announcement is expected on Monday. Norway's Navy announced on Monday that it will help search for the missing plane of a famous 20th century explorer and national hero, more than 80 years after he disappeared. Roald Amundsen led the first successful expedition to the South Pole from 1910 to 1912. He's also credited with being the first person to reach both the North and South Poles. But he went missing in June of 1928 at the age of 55, flying a rescue mission to the North Pole. Now, CNN reports a new search later this year will focus on a 40-square-mile area of the Arctic Ocean. Norway's Navy will be accompanied by a German TV crew. Senior Commander Frode Loseth says this effort will have an advantage over previous attempts. Hugin, an unmanned submarine which can stay on task for 18 hours at a time, is named for a mythological raven which observed the Earth, then informed the Norse god Odin of what happened that day. Loseth acknowledged that finding human remains is unlikely, but says the focus will be on locating the wreck. Quote, "If there is something down there, we will find it," unquote. The commander adds no taxpayer funds will be spent on the search, which has the support of the Amundsen family. And finally, we expected the aviation alphabet groups to be outraged at the TSA's attempt to make small business and family aircraft carry air marshals. It was a nice surprise to hear Rush Limbaugh's half-hearted attempt to rally listeners against the large aircraft security program. But the breakthrough of the plight of business aviation to the public mainstream can now be considered complete. Cartoonist Scott Adams has pilloried hypocrites in Washington who use private aircraft funded by taxpayers for dubious research junkets and personal commuting while slamming businesses for employing the same productivity advantage. In yesterday's strip, available at an FMI link in the data block accompanying this Aerocast, the Dogbert character testifies before lawmakers about a proposed bailout plan for his company. When asked by legislators about his flying to the hearing on a corporate jet, Dogbert not only mocks the hypocrisy, but calls the questioner a, quote, "wool-coated glob of fat," unquote. How much do you want to bet that strip has already been clipped from a newspaper, maybe even matted and framed, and is now hanging on a wall in some corner office in Detroit? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell talks with Cessna Marketing VP Tom Aniello about the company's efforts and new marketing campaign aimed at pushing back at the recent pandering at the expense of business aviation. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.